If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
I was just thinking about the Snow White, and I'm recreating in my mind all those little guys walking and whistling. I totally love that movie.
That's a good
and
one.
Now you can't watch half those movies.
Did you see the newer one?
Is there a newer one?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a live action?
Yes. Oh. It made quite the splash, obviously, if you've never heard of it. It was just in the theaters.
Good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
Hi, Kevin Wells. Hi, Andy Mazur.
Good morning.
Did you remember watching Snow White, Andy?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, sure you did. You had to.
Yeah.
Why didn't you ask me that question?
Because you're young.
Well, you probably saw the new one.
Nope.
Who played Snow White in the new one? The live action. Anyone?
Come I can't on, remember. Yeah. I know, but I can't
your
remember.
Your girls are right in that wheelhouse, probably, right?
I didn't see it, though.
I was just trying to think about, you know, we have a new granddaughter who's just turned 4 months, and I'm thinking back to when our kids were young, you know, so Quinn, who's 31 now, we lived on watching The Lion King.
Okay.
I mean, it was something.
That was my childhood, too.
Lion King?
Yeah, I watched it probably once a week.
Oh, my God, it's so sad.
Well, it's classic Disney. There's always like the, you know, like scars.
Tragic,
just not a,
no,
yeah,
right?
Not good.
Father? Oh, my God.
My favorite line from, I bet you Kevin can quote it. The favorite line is when Scar catches the mouse. Kevin, remember the line?
You're putting me on the spot. I don't remember.
This is so good.
It's been years. Oh, I don't know. Right.
You know,
so bad at movies.
So sad, he says.
So sad.
He's got the mouse and he goes, "You see, I will never be king and you will never live to see another day." And then he eats the mouse with the camera.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, everybody. Hi.
House that's Marks your favorite Radio. Line.
Right. It's good writing.
And that's not even cartoon. The saddest part of that movie. That's the crazy part is I forgot that even happened because of all the other traumatizing events that happened in that movie.
Now they have all the live action. Sorry.
Right.
Disney talk here.
Right. It's all good. Did we find out who it was? Oh, no, you're busy.
Rachel Zegler.
Who's that? Anyone? You don't know? Okay, never mind. Lion King talk.
She played West Side Story. She played in the new movie West Side Story. Maria.
Oh, she's that amazing dancer. Oh, yeah, she hosted the Tonys. She's super talented. Well, there you go. Now I'm going to watch it. See? Look at us. Right? Can we talk? I know, Kevin, you fancy yourself a sports guy, too, and I got Andy there with all this experience.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say this about the Bears in Arlington Heights? And, Andy, we can check the tape.
Okay.
They were always going to Arlington
I said that.
Heights.
I think I told you that.
You said that, too.
When they first bought the land.
Right.
A team like the Bears doesn't buy land in Arlington Heights if they don't intend to use it.
Right. And in the end, everybody who doesn't like change, okay, there's a train stop right there.
Yeah, there's a train stop there.
It is the best location. Like, you couldn't make it any better.
Yeah. And, you know, way back when, Papa Bear Hallis actually thought about moving the Bears to Arlington Heights even back then.
Oh, yeah. I do remember.
So there is a little relationship between that. The two, the city and the team.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, the other obvious red flag for building here in the city was, once again, the Bears would not own their own stadium because the Park District would be in charge. And we've seen how well they worked together over the last 30-something, 40-something years.
Right.
And it's not good. And now the Bears will get will get all the revenue. They'll be able to get the Final Four, probably a Big Ten championship situation. You know, we'll be there. Yep. It's just a no-brainer.
Yeah.
As a fair and impartial newsman, it's not over until it's over. But when they bought the land, that was the first indication. The second indication was last year when we heard, hey, this is a great idea for the lakefront. But since then, Pritzker has said, no, we're not doing that. The House leader has said, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And there's been no movement on the museum campus project whatsoever. And also with this project, and the great reporting by the Tribune and Daily Herald on this, by the way, the Bears will not request to use
Kevin Wells brown nosing. Look at him. Look at
I mean, they did a really good job on this.
Okay, keep going. It's all right.
Ryan Burrow too. They will not use any public funding for the stadium.
They shouldn't.
But they will use public funding for the rest of that mega development should it be put into place.
Right.
So, yeah, right. I, if I had to guess, though, it's Arlington Heights.
Oh, come on. And
but I am fair and impartial.
Lest us not forget, it is impossible to get the Soldier Field.
It is impossible. And I got to be honest, you know, and I like Ted Phillips as a human being. But when they redesigned Soldier Field to look like it looks right now,
like a spaceship.
They had an opportunity.
We got bamboozled in Chicago with
big
that
time.
One.
They had an opportunity back then to build something like they were talking about last few months, because they would have had the room, and they insisted on the columns staying. And I get it, but they're not even part of the building. I mean, you have to go searching for the columns.
Yeah.
Did you guys sign off on that? Did you vote for that?
No.
No one voted. It was just
a referendum.
It was just done.
You got to change the. It's a historic. Save the columns. I'm like, what? It looks like a spaceship landed on top of it.
Yeah. And the worst part was I had to drive to Champaign every other week during the 2002 season.
So let's really. Yeah. Really, it was Andy got put a lot of miles on his
car. Exactly. And that's why I'm mad.
Right. He loved that Honda. Now he doesn't have it anymore.
He'll be
thrown into the ground. Yes.
Builds character.
I wonder. You know, I'm just wondering, you know, we're still a Bears town for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll take forever to get that thing built. So we're in 2025. I wonder if we're watching a game in the 2030 season there.
Yeah, it'll probably be around then. Now look, the Bears still have a lease at Soldier Field till 2033, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
They have actually started to outline some things that they are frustrated with the Park District to try to cause a trigger in the lease to allow them to leave. So,
shocking.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. But, you know, think about all the room that they're going to have out there in Arlington Heights to build the stadium that they want to build. I mean, it can be an absolutely massive stadium. And, you know, the other thing that they did with this monstrosity by the lake is they cut the seating by 6,000 seats. So now even a cold weather cities have been hosting Super Bowls. The Meadowlands did it, in New Jersey. But you have to have 66,000 seats. They have 61,000.
Right. One thing, too, I think gets overlooked with this project is it's what? How many acres is it?
326.
326 acres. I think I read for the average NFL stadium, you need about 8 to 10 acres only.
So it's a massive sprawling land.
You're going to have parking lot. You're going to have the whole shebang.
Lindsay,
only 8
I have
to 10.
An idea. I have an idea, a business idea. When the thing gets closer, you and I, since there's so much land over there, we're going to open up an Aunt Annie's franchise.
There you go.
Because people love those pretzels.
They sure do. Pump that scent into the air, or whatever they use to make it smell so good.
Right.
You know, I know there's diehards out there that say, well, they're not going to be the Chicago Bears anymore. The New York Giants, the New York Jets play in New Jersey.
Right.
The Dallas Cowboys play in Arlington. I mean, come on.
The 49ers play in Santa Clara,
which is not even close.
It's like an hour and 10 minutes away from San Francisco.
Yeah. We'll get over that.
So get over it.
The minute we go to the beautiful new stadium, we're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody will love it. Yeah. All right, that's Bears Talk here on House Smarts Radio. That's our new segment sponsored by Chevrolet, the official
truck sponsor
of your Chicago Bears. 857-5574-LOU, 857-5574-568. This is Barry in Mount Prospect. Hey, Barry, good morning.
Morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
In the winter, when the heat is on, the humidifier drips down into a PVC valve, and then it does a bunch of 90 degrees and goes out the drain. That seems to be clogged because it overflows. Have the air conditioner on, and it's doing the same thing. It's overflowing that. Is there something I can do? I've tried snaking it out.
It just goes into a drain. It doesn't go into a pump or anything like that.
Correct. It just does a whole bunch of 90s.
Okay, and it's overflowing at the furnace. Is there like a T right there?
It's overflowing right underneath the humidifier, which is, of course, attached to the furnace.
It's overflowing right under the humidifier. Well, the humidifier should be off, right?
Correct. It's off right now. Over this winter, it was like that. But now the air conditioner does the same thing. When the air conditioner is on, it backflows and overflows through that same PVC.
Okay, so wait. So you have a flexible hose coming off of the humidifier that goes to some white PVC, correct?
Correct.
And that at that point where those two are meeting, that's where it's overflowing?
Correct. That's where it backs up through.
Okay. And have you pulled out that hose?
I've pulled out the hose, yes, and I've snaked through there. I put, I think we mixed vinegar or something to help unclog it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I think, let's see, what else? I think I took a vacuum and vacuumed the water out of there.
Yeah.
And it's still overflowing.
Okay, so you can, it's not uncommon. And also what's not uncommon is that the little pipe going back towards the pan of the A-coil, that can be clogged as well. So that little piece, that the little short piece that goes into the housing of the furnace. Let's try a couple things. There's a drain cleaner. Do you have like a watering can for watering your plants with like a tiny little spout?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever heard me talk about this drain cleaner called InstaFlow? It's okay. Like some chips. And so you're going to grab a bottle of this. You may need a funnel. And then you're going to wear some gloves. But pour this down into this pipe. And then give it half a minute, 30 seconds or so. And then with a watering can full of hot water, okay, pour that down the pipe, and you're going to start to hear it kind of percolate, my favorite word, and give it another 30 seconds and keep pouring more water there to rinse it all out. And then, do you have a leaf blower?
Yeah, a big one, yeah.
All right. Can you get it over the top of that pipe?
You're talking about the pipe that comes,
you're gonna
that
take,
my humidifier drains
gonna,
into?
Correct.
Yes, I'll do my best to do it. All right,
do the drain. Yeah, that's not enough power. I want to blow that pipe out with that. And,
okay.
And between the two of those things, you should be able to clear that pipe.
All right, thank you.
You got it.
I'll give it a whirl.
You got it. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574-LOU.
Hey, sir, how are you doing?
I'm well. How may I help you this morning?
So I've got, I bought a house that had a deck. The deck was maybe 15 years old and wasn't refinished. So I went to the local store and bought the solid stain of the Thompson's water sealer. It came off after a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and then I power washed it, and now the deck does not look good. So I called Deck Tech. They came out to assess it, and they said that they didn't think that they could sand it and then restain it with a semi-solid product. They recommended that I restain it with a Thompson's solid product again. So my question was really going to be, what harm am I going to do, or how bad is it going to look if I try to resand it myself and reapply a different product, or what other options do I have?
I always get in trouble with this, but I'm not a huge fan of the Thompson's stuff. The Thompson's water seal is a really good product for certain applications, and their stains are just okay. There's better options for you. But if Deck Tech came out and said that, look, we can't get enough of this off to give you the semi-transparent, you got to go with a solid, then go with yep. someone else's solid, okay? And so you're going to pressure wash, you're going to sand, and then either go with a Cabot. They make a really good solid stain, as well as Pennafin. They make a really good solid stain that goes over the top. The trick is this with solid stains. You can't do it in really hot direct sunlight because the paint, it's a paint basically, but it's going to dry.
Okay.
We need to slow down the drying process. So it's a really good thing if you prep it all, depending on the size of your deck, I'd love for you to do it late in the day, the actual application of it, right? So, you know, if there's a time after 3 o'clock, it's in the shade, you know, something like that. You're working into the night.
Yes.
Your shift that night is 3 to 7. So, and then that way it'll sit there and slowly dry and stay put. But the trick is clean, sanded, smooth, and then not doing it in direct sunlight and low temperatures, and a better quality product. Maybe go with the Cabot product. It's very good. Make sure you stir it during the application to keep the solids, suspended while you apply it. But, that'll bring it back to life, and you'll save some money. And I think you'll get, 3, maybe even 5 years of coverage out of the thing, which would be good. Appreciate the phone call. I'm bumping up against news time. It's 6:30 in the morning. Time now to head into the WGN Radio Newsroom. Hi, Amelia.
Hi, good morning, Lou. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah.
We enjoy your program. We listen to it, and we've learned so much through the years. Thank you for that.
You're very kind. How may I help you this morning?
So, Lou, we have 2 brick posts that flank our driveway. One contains the mailbox, but in the last couple of years, the brick is starting to crumble. And I'm wondering if you'd be able to recommend someone, a mason or something, who could fix that for us.
Hmm. Do we have any more of that brick or no?
No.
Tell me about the, what's the color of the brick? Like, is it red?
It's pinkish. It's cream and pink toned.
Okay.
They don't make it anymore. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, they probably can get close, but they may not be able to get an exact. Is it most of the crumbling at the bottom?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lindholm Roofing can do this. They do tuck pointing. And they can rebuild that little section for you, too. Both Lindholm Roofing and you can get a second bid from Lindemann Chimney Heating and Cooling. They, too, do duct pointing. Both very good companies. Okay. You'll get an honest bid from both of them, and then you can decide whom you'd like to work with.
Perfect. That's perfect. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I will call them for sure.
You got it. That's great.
I do have a second question.
Sure.
I do have a second question. Yeah. This is, we have windows that have the crank that juts out. I'm wondering if there's a kit out there that can convert that crank out into a fold in.
You mean the handle itself?
Yeah.
So in other words, the crank right now is sticking out, and what, is it getting in the way of your window treatments?
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they do make collapsible handles that you can buy. Most hardware stores have them. If they don't, maybe the home centers, but I know, sadly, you can find them online. The reason I say sadly, I own a couple hardware stores, and the foldable ones were hard to find. They were out of stock, and I had to end up buying them online, and I bought 2 of those folding ones, and you can get them in the brown or the black, or the biggest thing is the pin, that it clips onto. Those come in different sizes, depending on your window. And I want to say the most popular size is 5/16. So if you were to look online for what they call it is a collapsible handle. There's also going to be a tiny little set screw. And so you're going to loosen the set screw. You're going to pop this thing on, tighten the set screw, fold it out of the way for the window treatments. And, it works great. And they're,
Wonderful.
I think you can buy a pair for $15 or something like that. That sounds about right.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate that. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Lou. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate that as well. Thank you for listening. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. I did a feature on WGN Morning News yesterday about patching the brown spots in your lawn. And I know for most of us, what's happening is everything's greening up. It looks wonderful. I mean, I love it. It's cold today. I mean, it was really nice yesterday and warm. I just can't quite figure out this weather. It's, it's not consistent yet, but the plants are doing well. But also watering. It's been very dry, so stay on top of this. Here's my little trick, and I actually got done doing it on TV, and I'm like, huh, you know, I got to do some of this at my house too, even though I filmed some of it. I took a rake, and in the areas where I was missing some soil, I loosened up that soil, and then I used a grass seed. In particular, Scott's makes this grass seed that is a coated seed. It almost has this blue coating on it. I'm not quite sure what it is, but the idea is that when you water it, it holds on to the water better. Now, you can buy these patch kits that are complete. Jonathan Green has one. Scott's has one. Pennington has one. It has the seed, a little bit of soil, a little peat moss, some fertilizer as well. And you can sprinkle that over the area. The trick is this. You need more seed. You always need more seed. So don't be afraid to buy a bag of it and really make your own coverage. And in my opinion, it's a better way to go. That you put a bunch of seed down there after you scratch that soil. And there is a soil that you can buy that Scott's has called lawn soil, which has a little bit of fertilizer in there. Put that over the seed. And that's going to really keep it holding the water after you water it a little bit. And it's going to keep the birds from seeing it and then eating the seed. That's the worst thing. I look out there and I see the blackbirds on top of it. And I tell Bruno to go out and chase them. And he does. But, you know, we need some warmer weather. And within a couple of weeks, you'll start to see that to germinate. And if you do that, if you've put down a pre-emergent, this is the one thing you got to remember, is if you put down a crabgrass and fertilizer maybe 3-4 weeks ago, you can now get away with probably putting some seed down to not affect that seed. But you can't do them both at the same time. Or if I'm like, oh, I just put the weed and feed down yesterday, you can't go and seed because it just won't germinate. And so that's really important to remember. And the other thing is it's important to water it probably every day. And if it's the little patches that I'm talking about, that's something you're going to do by hand, not with a sprinkler, because even though it's dry, you don't want to overwater, because if you do that, you don't build a healthy lawn. Less water, more intense watering fewer times a week is better for the lawn because it promotes deep root growth in the soil. And that's what makes a disease-tolerant lawn. And then in particular, when we do get the consistent, you know, we're going to get those 2 weeks of 90-degree days that's going to come. And that's going to be tough on your lawn. And when you've got a deeper root, then it stays healthier for longer, which is really something to kind of strive for. And then over the years, your lawn will just be healthier and healthier. And it'll be like, wow, hey, Jimmy, how come your lawn looks so good? Well, you know, every year I do this. And those little bits of things make a huge difference. And it's why some of your neighbors have these really thick, lush lawns. It's because they work on it. And you can do the same thing. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. No leaks, no worries. We're broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Waterproofing Studios. Don't go away. We'll be right back. John in Aurora. Good morning, John.
Hi, Lou. How you doing?
Doing great.
Good. I am replacing all the outlets in an old house, and most of them are two-pronged. So I'm wondering, do I need to replace them with two-prong outlets, or can I put the three-pronged outlets in and ground it to the box? I'm not really sure.
Are the boxes metal, and is the house all piped?
The boxes are metal, and I don't know for sure if it's piped. I assume it is. It was built in, like, 63.
Where is this home?
Aurora.
Okay. So, I mean, go look, you know, down where your panel is, and you should see, if you see a bunch of conduit coming out of that panel, can you remember that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. It's all drywalled in, so that's why I couldn't see it.
Okay.
But I could open it up.
If you verify that it's not Romex, right, and if it's in the 60s, my guess is, I mean, it should be conduit, then that's what's called a bonded system, that the... If the panel, you know, if the service coming into the house, there's somewhere you see a ground rod outside somewhere, and actually, you know, you could hedge your bet here.
Okay.
Where's the water service as it pertains to the electrical panel?
It's on a well.
Okay, but where does it come into the house? Is it by the electrical panel? Question. Is it by the electrical panel?
No, I think it's in the crawl space, and the electrical panel's in the garage.
Okay. Well, we want to make sure that, you know, I'm always nervous about this with the electrical stuff.
But right.
In theory, your system's bonded. As long as you look in there and you see like a connector where the wires are coming out and it's pipe, that box is already yep. grounded. When you put the three prong in there and you connect the neutral and the hot to the new receptacle, and then you connect right. the receptacle to the box, that's the ground.
Okay.
Okay.
Because there's only two wires now.
Correct. There is no ground. I mean, and so even if you, yeah. my point is this, even if you took a ground wire off of the receptacle, which there'll be a terminal for that,
right.
and you screwed right. it into the box, you're doing the same right. thing by screwing the receptacle to the box.
Okay.
But,
cool.
well, okay. hold on, there's a big but here, John. Okay?
Okay.
You've done this before?
Yes, but always, I've replaced outlets a lot, but there always have been three prongs.
I want you to ground, I want you just to, for you know what and giggles, I want you to ground the yep. panel to like a water line.
I got you.
Is there a water line near the panel? It's in the garage,
I'll have to figure that out.
Well, wait a minute. Wait. So the panel's in the garage, right?
Yep.
And so the meter's outside on the back side of this panel.
There was an addition put on after the panel was there. So there's an addition right behind the panel.
Okay. So then let's do this outside where the electrical meter is. Somewhere,
yeah.
Does it come in? Does it come in over the top, or does it come in behind underground? Does the service? Okay, go pay attention where the service is. If there's a ground rod in the ground, and then a wire that's connected to that, and then connected to either the pipe that goes in, you know, then ultimately goes to the panel or somewhere else. If not, go to the hardware store or the home center, buy a 3-foot ground rod, pound it into the ground.
Gotcha.
And leave about, you know, 3-4 inches up, and they make a little clip that you can put on there, and then you're going to use like a number 3 wire, and you're going to connect it to the ground rod, and then you're going to connect it somewhere where that meter is. And let's just make sure it's all grounded.
Right. Okay, cool. Okay, one last thing, mm-hmm. not related. Mm-hmm. You're not a Penafin stain guy anymore?
No, I am.
Okay, because I hear you mentioned Cabot quite a bit, and I tried Cabot. Not a big fan.
No, so that caller had a solid, they wanted a solid, they didn't want it. They needed a solid right. colored stain. And Penafin makes one, but Penafin's really good at semi-transparent.
Oh, right.
And so
I use it all the time.
Oh, it's fantastic. No, and
I love it.
I even said Penafin, but their solid color. I mean, their solid's good.
Yeah.
Cabot's just been doing a little bit longer.
Okay. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I didn't hear the solid part. Okay, I understand.
No problem. I'm still a Penafin guy.
All right. Me too. Thank you.
Take care. I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's an adjective, and the definition is smart and wise.
Is the word of the day, Andy?
Wait. What did you say?
Is the word of the day, Andy?
Andy.
Smart and wise.
That's good.
Hey, I'm brown nosing today.
Good work.
He's here all weekend. Enjoy the meal. Here we go. Smart and wise. The word is sagash.
Oh, I didn't do the spelling for you, did I? Because I thought.
No, you did.
Oh, I did. I did.
You did. Sagashish.
This is fun.
That's it?
Sagashish. Oh, boy, that could go south real quick.
Say it again?
Boy, I got to be very careful.
Where's the Saga. Sag. Where's the inflection with the big A?
On the A.
Okay, saga. So say it. Say what's the verse word?
Sag.
And then
A.
Uh huh.
Shiss.
Yep. Say it together.
Sagacious. Sagacious.
Oh boy.
What? Was that? Are you kidding?
Sagacious. You do this on purpose.
I really
you
didn't.
You really do.
I really didn't.
No, you do.
But that
sagacious.
Was, I mean, it worked
S-A-G-A-C-I-O-U-S. Here's the thing. See, I'm learning too.
Yeah.
Sagacious.
You are right.
Right? So I'm learning with you.
People help.
Right.
People.
So it is. Right. And so it isn't like I'm not trying to be the know-it-all here. I'm just trying to learn and keep up.
Well, the example sentence is going to be even better.
Right. Using so the fitting. Word of the day will make you sound bright and sagacious.
Point for Lou.
S-A-G-A-C-I-O-U-S. Sagacious.
I love how we got
see,
there.
See, the thing is, this is where my mind goes. The last part of your phonetic spelling, I'm so worried that I'm going to say a bad
I
word.
I know. Mm-hmm. You are so
and it makes
all the time.
Me, right. Andy knows.
I
it's
know.
It's like so, you get so worried about that. And all it takes is one bad word. Like, whatever happened to Lou Manfredini?
He was so good.
Right? He was so good. Yeah, he said a bad word. He said a naughty word on the radio.
You've never let one fly on the radio before? Not even by accident?
No.
Andy, never. Have you? I feel
no.
like maybe.
I hesitate to say the name of that comedy show that used to be on HBO with Eugene Levy.
I can't say the breed of the dog we have.
Yeah.
Good
right.
for you guys.
No
that's longstanding of not making a mistake there.
Right.
That's good.
Well, the problem is as the older Andy and I get, yes. the more we're nervous about
Very.
It. you just never know.
Amazing.
When the light is on, you gotta be careful. Wow. Sagacious.
You gotta be sagacious
I know
about
that,
it.
I've
you know?
Said that word. I just didn't know that's how it was spelled or pronounced.
Oh.
Well, I mean, or how it was
just
said.
Like Reenie.
Right. Reenie. No, Renee. That's how you spell it. Renee.
Really?
That's funny. Really? Reenie.
So sagacious.
Sagacious. That's good. Well, can I tell you real quick on a separate on the side? So, you know, we have a home in southeastern Wisconsin, and I do like, you know, I like doing dishes and I like washing windows. Like, that's a thing. But in the spring, because the windows are all really dirty, it's a big job. And, you know, and the other thing, too, is this is, you know, while I still do a lot of work myself, I have become a little bit more guarded when it comes to getting up on a ladder and doing stuff, okay? Especially by myself. So we've tended to hire people to come in the spring to do a window cleaning. So I want to give a shout-out to a guy we just found. Mary Beth found this guy. And I want to preface this by saying he only services kind of like southeastern Wisconsin and kind of the northeastern part of Illinois, like McHenry and stuff. And he's got the best name for his company, Nice Window Cleaning. Isn't that a great name?
That's good.
And he's right.
It'll catch on too.
Right. So who did you get? Oh, I got Nice Window Cleaning. Yeah, Nice Windows. No, it's Nice Window Cleaning. Anyway, this what I liked about this kid, I started talking to him. Of course, I get the whole, he's a Hawks fan, Andy.
Oh, yes.
And a former hockey player. And actually, his family's got some kind of business where they do outdoor ice rink kits.
Oh.
Right? So, like, you can buy these ice rink kits where you get the boards and everything.
Yeah. My brother used to do that in the backyard. My nieces were big into skating when they were young, and he would put that little tarp down, and it would curve up a little bit, and you'd fill it with water, and next thing you know, you got an ice skating rink.
Right. With the curbs, too?
Mm-hmm.
All the way around, yeah.
All the way around.
So, anyway, and he goes, but, you can't do that in the summer. Well, that's a good point. And just a really nice, hardworking kid. He kind of reminded me of Mike and I starting out. You know, he's been doing it for a few years, but I just really, I know we talk about a lot of advertisers, but they all got to start somewhere. So if you live in kind of that northeastern Illinois, southeastern Wisconsin area, look this kid up. Nice window cleaning. He did a nice job. I just, little shout out. I was, do you watch Hacks with Gene Smart?
I have not seen it yet.
So we're starting the fourth season, and it's a little rough in the beginning, but Jean Smart's great, and it's really good chemistry between, and there's a whole thing where she's this very established, comedian, been around forever, and she finally gets this big break that she's been trying to get, and then she realizes that she's got to help people that are starting on the bottom, right? And I think that that's for all of us in what we do, got to help other people, right? Song that I love, Humble and Kind, right? When you get up that ladder, make sure you look at who's the one on the ladder coming up behind you, right? Kevin, don't say bad words on the radio.
I won't.
857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. This is Jeannie in Arlington Heights. Jeannie, the Bears are coming to Arlington Heights.
I know. Don't, future home of the Bears.
I know. Don't sell your house just yet.
Love your show, Lou.
How may I help you? Thank you.
Okay, I live in a condo. On the second floor, it's a two-floor building. On two outside walls, nowhere near any water, I have water spots showing up on my wall about a foot from the floor. I had a roofer out yesterday. And he said, there's no problem with the roof. It's not the roof. And I'm kind of befuddled. There, it's not near any water source. And I'm on the second floor. I'm worried that whatever the problem is, it could go to my neighbors, too. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Where you see this staining, is it below a window?
No. One wall has a window, but it's not near the window. And my windows are fairly new, probably about 5 years old. The other one, no, there's no window, no water source.
And when you say staining, is it a horizontal line? Is it a vertical line? Is it spots? What does it look like?
Spots. And for the longest time, the one wall has had the spots for quite a while before Easter. I know that because I thought I threw something in a little trash can that I have in there that must have been dirty and somehow spotted the wall. So I didn't pay much attention. Well, when the spots started growing and now they're on a second wall and I did move water from that was seeping out from one wall. It spread.
Oh,
yeah,
so there, it was soaking wet. You have evidence of water coming through the wall. And is the exterior of this building, the siding, is it brick? Is it stucco? Is it wood siding? What is it?
Aluminum siding on the second floor where I am. First floor is brick. And I did go outside just to make a cursory inspection and didn't see anything wrong.
Well, you're, just so you know, you're using really good words today. You use the word befuddled, which is a good one, and cursory. Lindsay, you should be writing all these down.
Okay.
Befuddled.
Because I learned from you.
Oh, you're so well. That's very kind. But it's Lindsay that comes up with the words of the day.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Where you see this evidence of the water, in relationship to where the brick meets the aluminum siding, is that on the same plane?
Or is it
lower?
No, it's higher. My spots are higher.
Your spots are above where the brick line is.
Correct. Okay. Now, let me tell you something interesting also. These spots are about the same height from the floor, even though they're on two different walls, which I find interesting.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And there's no... Well, it's an outside... They're both outside walls, so there shouldn't be any water there at all. There's no...
There shouldn't be.
No mechanical or anything like the... Where's your furnace and your air conditioner?
Well, now, my furnace did have a little bit of a leak where there's piping that goes through the roof. And they patched that up, the roofer patched that up 2 days ago. That is quite far away. It's five rooms away. This is an outside wall. Yeah. That is an inside wall.
Did they inspect the siding as well to make sure that there's no gaps or separation near on this wall? Because it sounds to me, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm not sure he did now that you say that. I didn't even think of it. I can't inspect it because I'm not 8 feet tall.
Right. Imagine how the money you could have made. It sounds to me, based on everything you're describing, there's got to be some separation or some flashing issue in relationship to the siding. Especially if you're getting that kind of water that you have. Now, the fact that the roof was inspected, we can eliminate that. But I think you need someone to come and inspect the siding.
Right. I think that's a good idea. And you know what, Lou? Now that I'm looking out the window, the area where the brick from the first floor meets the siding from the second floor is not too far from where these spots are.
Right. So, to me...
Maybe that's a good point.
Right, it could be a flashing issue. Now, that, I would think, is a condo building repair.
Right, that part would be, yes.
Right, so...
And they're involved.
Okay, I think we need to get that siding and that. And my guess is, if the relationship between where the aluminum siding meets the brick is near and or above, slightly above where you're experiencing this, it's probably some flashing issue that you're getting in like a driving rain, and that's where the water's coming in.
Yeah, and it is, my spots are above where the brick meets the siding.
Well, right, and water typically doesn't go up, but it could be a break in the siding up above, and so I would work with the condo association to get someone out there to inspect that siding and see if that can get fixed. If not, you're going to have to open up that wall to really determine what's going on. And the other issue is that there's insulation in there that if that's all wet, that probably has to be opened up anyway, and that insulation has to be pulled out and replaced. I appreciate your phone call. Diana in Lake Forest. Hi Diana. There. Morning.
Morning. I just had a quick question. I recently saw a moth near a closet, and I've never, ever had to deal with that. And I'm kind of nervous and want to make sure to nip it in the bud, but also have pets and wanted to know what I can do, you know, and also, like, how does that get in the house? I just happen to see it, and it's making me, want to be sure that we don't.
It's crazy. Lindsay and I are in the middle of watching this Apple TV show called Your Friends and Neighbors, and there's a whole moth thing in that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
That's
yes.
Gross.
It's coming. I mean, maybe last night, but I know there's a new.
Oh, this morning.
Something means something. Right.
All right. Yeah. So there
what
is.
What do I do?
So it's you didn't do anything wrong, but there's larvae in there that you got to worry about. So I want you to do a couple things. There is a product. There's a repellent product that the woman that invented this product called Fresh Cab is a sachet to put in your closet to keep moths at bay. Mm-hmm. And it's like called Moth something. Can you find out the name of it? It's the woman that makes the Fresh Cab from North Dakota or South Dakota. Anyway, Moth something. Moth, not Moth. Anyway, but before you do that, there's a moth spray. It's actually, I've been giving this out on the air for a bunch of other stuff, called SLA, Sam Lewis Apple, SLA.
Okay.
And it's a moth spray that smells like cedar. Take everything out of that closet, spray down that closet, and you're going to spray your clothes with this stuff too.
Got it.
Then put all the stuff back. Then throw that sachet in there, and you should be able to. It's called Stay Away Moths by Earth Kind.
Okay. Perfect. And what and that SLA is okay if I have dogs in the house and
yeah.
stuff?
Yeah, you actually can spray the dog with it, which is weird because I was reading the can. It says you can spray the dog, but you can't spray a cat. Which is kind of funny. I don't know why.
Interesting. Okay.
Here's what I would do.
And one more time on the sachet.
Here's what I would do. Don't spray the dog or the cat. Just use it in the cabinet. Okay. Right. It's called Stay Away Moths by a company called Earth Kind. Works really, really well. Let's head into the WGN Radio Newsroom and check in with Kevin Wells. Do you really not have one?
I know.
No, that's not true.
No, I'm ashamed. I really
isn't there stuff hanging in your dining room? Or am I making that up?
Making it up. We have nothing. I know. I have to do it. It's
wait,
a big commitment.
In your family room, there's not nothing.
Like
there's not
nothing. Not one. Not one.
Wait, didn't I go fix something in your
except
bathroom?
The horseshoe.
The horseshoe.
Just fix something in the bathroom.
I fixed something in your bathroom. Oh, I hung some towel rods in your bathroom.
Yeah.
There's nothing hanging, but I had to walk through. There's nothing hanging in your bedroom? Nothing.
No.
And it's not something you even think about.
Yes, I think about it every day because all the pictures are leaning against the wall right where I want to hang them. They're just not up yet.
Oh, my God. We could have never been married. That would just never
happen.
Well, you
would have hung everything by
now. Well, right. It would all be. Well, that's true. Right. Well, you'd have that. We'd be divorced, but you'd have every pictures on the wall.
No. Not one.
Wow. Well, now you kind of have
now
no excuse.
Yes. And I do like this thing.
Wait
the
a minute.
Thing
you
I,
painted what? Like the floor in your... I mean, you've done all this stuff. You're like Donna Reed.
Yes.
No hanging of anything on the wall.
No. No.
Huh. What do you think that is?
I can only do so much. I can only...
Right, but what do you think that is that you just not like, it's like,
No, it's like a commitment because it's
like once you know, you have a piece of something. You're like, I love this picture. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to hang it here. Like, that's where it's going.
Yeah, and I know that it's probably not going to line up. It's going to be not level or it's not going to be centered because and then I know I'm going to have to redo it again. I'm going to have to pound another nail.
So it's the, so it's like the concern that you're going to not do it right.
Yes, and then I'm not going to like the picture that's there. And the only thing about this tool that I do like, it actually works very well.
Yeah.
But I think it would be hard to, you know, if you have like five frames, say, that you want to put together.
Sure.
It would be hard to put them, to measure them up close together on the same wall.
Well,
you know, they'd have to be like about 6 inches
sure.
between
each other. Yeah.
And
you
got to,
you know what you need to be good at? Math.
Oh, another streak against me.
857-557-4LOU. You can find that information by going to our YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/HouseSmartsTV. Let's go back to the phone lines. This is Jim in Oak Brook. Jim, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou. You know how long I've been waiting to say that. That was fun.
What? How can I help you?
Lou, I have a lake house. We tore it down or rebuilding it.
Okay.
And the back patio, again, it's brand new. It's all concrete, and it's got an upper porch. But the back patio, I was looking for some kind of like a stone tile that's affordable I could put over the concrete. And I remember a show or two a long time ago, you talking about something. I think maybe you did it at your home to recommend. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've looked, it's about 800 square feet, so it's a lot of tiling to do. Thought you might have some suggestions.
Yes. So there are these large porcelain landscape tiles that are about 5/8 of an inch thick. That sounds about, no, maybe not 5/8. Maybe about 5/8. So the patio's brand new.
Brand new.
Okay. Here's why you're going to use this product. It just lies on top of your concrete on rubber corners. And then if you ever have a concrete crack or something like that, the tile won't crack. And you can and then you can just you can grout it, but you don't need to. And where is the house?
Elkhorn, Wisconsin.
All right, and where do you live normally?
Western suburbs, Oak Brook. Okay.
So I have a friend of mine that owns a place called Stonecutters in Glenview, and he's a supplier of this stuff.
Okay.
Now, it's not inexpensive, but this is what you want.
Okay. All right.
And so it's going to...
And is there a... let me ask, what about slip resistance on this tile? Awesome. Do they make different degrees of
it? It's awesome. It's non-slip.
Okay.
It is an unglazed porcelain, comes in different colors and finishes, and and it's heavy, it's not going to move, and it's amazing. Really, really good stuff. So it's a porcelain landscape tile. And my buddy, the company he owns in Glenview is called Stonecutters. And you can talk to them.
Okay, got it. Okay. And then I'm reasonably handy. Is it something that, I mean, I'm not going to be doing, is it something a weekender or handyman can do?
100%. You're going to need some help.
Okay,
you're going to need some help putting these down. Like, they're heavy.
Oh, that's what sons and son-in-laws
are for. Right, right, right. And you probably will have some cutting that you need to do.
Okay.
So, for instance, this patio, does it come, like, do you come out from a doorway and step down to it? What's the story there?
Yeah, so it's, you come out, there's several patio doors, and it's probably about a 6-inch drop.
But there's a step?
So, 6-inch drop between the concrete and the threshold.
Oh, so no step at all. You just step up into it.
No.
Got it. Okay.
Correct.
So then you're just going to, you need like a diamond cutting saw to do the cuts. But but that's not a big deal. If you've done any tile work before, you can do this for sure.
Yeah, no problem. Awesome. Thank you very, very much. Love your show.
Thank you. Appreciate you listening. No leaks, no worries. We're broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Waterproofing Studios. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Let me see if we can, Beyonce. I'm calling her hotel room right now. See if she's there. Yeah, she's not picking up. But you did say right before 8 o'clock we were going to call her, right?
Yeah, she confirmed.
She's probably sleeping. I mean, it's tough. You know, she was delayed because of the rain. Well, tried. Okay. Too bad. Would have been a great one.
See, she took Friday off, too, to have a nice little Friday afternoon here in Chicago on Friday.
Did she?
Evening. Yeah. She had a show Thursday, no show yesterday, and a show today and tomorrow. So,
what did she do on Friday?
I don't know. Smart planning. You guys have her phone number. First name basis?
Let me try her again. Right there. No, it's not there. You did say, right before 8 o'clock, she's like, Lou Manfredini? It was really funny. She listens on the stream.
Yeah.
She must live in LA, right?
She had some leaky pipes. She's got some leaky
pipes. Yeah. I mean, Jay-Z is a very talented guy, but he's not very handy.
Do you think she gave you the wrong number? No.
Maybe, right. Oh. Just call my assistant.
Sasha Fierce.
She's complaining about the Soldier Field spaceship seats?
Right.
Maybe needs you to get on there and fix it.
Too bad. I thought we were going to have her. Anyway, 857-5574-LOU, 857 557-4568. This is Sharon in Wadsworth. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. How may I help you?
Yes, I live we have a well and a septic, and we have hard water.
Yeah.
And two toilets. One toilet downstairs never gets a hard water ring or anything, but my upstairs toilet, it's an American Standard, it's only 5 years old. Every morning when I get up, there is a hard water ring. And then when I get home from work, there's a hard water ring. And I've tried every toilet tablet, and I can't get rid of it. I mean, I can clean it, and it's beautiful, but mm-hmm. then 12 hours later, it's back.
That's funny. The first floor toilet is not American Standard, is it?
Yes, both are.
Both are.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is it's something reacting with the... Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever tried, here's what I want you to try as a test for me. Clean the toilet okay. really well. And then mm-hmm. you said if you wake up in the morning, oh, now I have all those Rafi songs. If you wake up in the morning and you brush your teeth, Anyway, Do you see the ring in the morning, like overnight?
Yes, overnight. And you all can't right. see it because I have the blue water in there, but as soon as you flush it,
I
you
see.
Can see exactly
so it
where
is,
the water
so
was.
It is. It's not that even the water just sitting there is reacting with something.
That's the thing, because you can use the toilet on a Saturday and it's fine because it keeps flushing, but if the water sits in there, even with the tablet stuff,
have you tried not to use the tablets and just kept it clear? What does that do?
Yeah, that's where we started.
Oh, I see.
And it was, yeah, it's continued, and I just can't find a right tablet or what to do for that one toilet.
Fluid Master makes a cartridge system that is like a bleach tablet. And what it is you take the lid off, you hook mm-hmm. it on the side of the tank. And then you take the water, so the out of the fill valve, you put the water line into this cartridge, and then there's another hose okay. that goes in to fill the toilet. And it's Fluid Master. I'll think. I got to find the name of it, but that is supposed to keep the bowl clean, and every time it flushes, it's going to add a little bit of that, and you change these little cartridges. I don't know, every 3 months or so.
Oh, okay. And that's fine with my septic?
Not a problem.
Okay.
And it's, I'm trying to, it's like a Fluid Master. Yeah, so it's called a Flush and Sparkle. And it's an automatic toilet clean, and it's you can buy these cartridges, and you clean it out, and or you just, they're like a quarter turn thing, and it works pretty well.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much. I love listening to you every Saturday.
Thank you. And you know what? I tried to reach Beyonce, but you're better. Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good day. You know that finally it's warming up, and Mary Beth and I have a tandem bicycle, and we like to go on little tandem rides, which is very fun. And we went for a little tandem ride the other day, and it was like, I go, well, let's go on a little tandem ride. I go, let's go stop and have a beer somewhere, which always is motivating to go on a bike ride, right? And so we went into downtown Wilmette and went to some bar in the corner. And they have a lot of draft beers. And I had
what was it?
What was it? What?
What was the bar?
Oh, they have the other one in Glenview. There's two of them. The old one's in Glenview.
Grandpa's?
No.
That's what I was going to say. That's a great
bar. No, I know
bar.
Grandpa's. Something House.
Glenview House?
Glenview House.
Yeah.
No.
Is that used to be House? Right there on the corner on Glenview Road and the railroad
tracks. It's called something else.
There's Andy's House?
What?
Andy's House?
Andy's House? Sure.
I used to have a house in Glenview.
I went to Andy's house. What is it? Lindsay, what's the... There's a fish restaurant in Wilmette... Pescaderos?
Pescaderos, yes.
Okay, across the street. Kitty Corner from the violin place.
Kitty Corner? I don't know.
Huh? Across the Kitty Corner.
The Christmas lights? Like...
Maybe.
The Christmas lights? They do all the Christmas lights?
Well, it wasn't Christmas. It was this last week. But anyway, my point is this. I had a really cold Yingling on draft.
Oh, nice.
It was delicious. Can I tell you, I should order that beer more.
It's really good now that it's available here.
Just the original one, too?
Oh. Pit and Tap.
What is it?
Pit and Tap?
No.
What?
No.
Torino. Nice. What? Valley Lodge?
Valley Lodge. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
thank you. Lodge. Right? Isn't there one in Glenview? Valley Lodge?
Don't know.
No?
I don't know. I think you're right.
Anyway, it was delicious. And I just want to be a proponent for keep moving, right? That's the key as we get older, right? Keep moving and stop and have a cold draft beer.
It's a reward, yeah. You got to reward yourself.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like carbs, right? That's good for exercise.
You're going to burn them off anyway.
A lot
of
people have these energy drinks. You don't need that. You just need a good ice-cold Yingling beer. I think that's
so good.
It's so good. Like, now I want one, and it's only 8:14.
Have you had the black and tans, too? Those are great. The traditional lager's great, and the black and tan is great.
You mean with a Guinness and something else?
It's they have their their line of black and tans.
I like the Harp Lager, the Irish Harp Lager, but the Guinness is just too heavy for me.
I can't remember. Do they make it with Guinness?
I think that's what a black and tan is, isn't it?
Well, they have their own line of black and tans.
It's already made?
Yeah, it's So I don't know,
It was funny. I mentioned earlier about this young man that we had come out and clean the windows, and they were done working. They're wrapping up. You know, it was late at night, and I said, "Hey, can I buy you guys an old man beer?" And and they both go, "I'll have an old man beer." I go, "What is it?" And I walk out with three bottles of Miller High Life.
Nice.
What is it, Andy?
It's the champagne of beers.
The champagne of beers.
Gross,
man. They're what?
Yeah, gross.
See, these youngsters don't appreciate like.
You just don't know.
You know,
that is the most delicious, delicious beer every bar none. Yep. Done.
I like a good canned hams every once in a while. Oh. You know, a Schlitz, a PBR.
Yeah, I'll do a hams. I lived in Milwaukee for 6 years, man. I like Miller Lite.
You're the Marquette guy.
Yeah, I like Miller Lite. I'll do a Schlitz if I'm up there. High Life, you can save it. No thanks. I'm all right.
Oh man. Doesn't know what he's missing.
I mean, we had high hopes for him, didn't we, Andy?
I know.
Yep.
Can I take the rest of the morning off?
Next thing you know, he'll be using profanity in the air.
Not very sagacious of him.
Oh.
Ooh. Thank you very much. You guys are all on the board.
One up to you. He already won up to you.
Hand up, too. I kind of forgot what it was already.
857-557-4, Lou. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. This is Leanne in Elburn. Hi, Leanne.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. How may I help you?
I attempted to send a picture. I have a back porch with, it's a covered back porch.
Okay.
With original barn wood ceilings, and they are dirty. And I'd like to clean them, but I'm not really sure how.
Dirty as in you could dirty like dust dirty or like it's just I really need to scrub it.
Well, I'm sure they're dust dirty also, but there's a little white, I don't know what they are, little white spots.
Are you willing to get with this back porch, can I get it wet?
I
got the picture. So it's, there's lights up there.
Yeah.
I don't love that. But are those covered? Do they have lenses on them or are they just bulbs?
Yeah, they're covered.
So they're like, they're covered. They're covered. Okay. Do you have a pressure washer?
Yeah.
So here's what I would like you to do. I would like some sort of soap up there first. Okay.
Okay.
So how about we just do something simple? Like, do you own a pump sprayer?
Yes.
All right. Put some powdered spick and span in the bucket in a bucket and mix it with warm water, and then pour that into the pump sprayer, and then spray that wood with the spick and span.
Okay.
Then let it sit there for half an hour, and then take a pressure washer and spray it off. Now, don't go crazy, right? Because you'll you'll mar the wood. We're really looking to just get the dirt. So you're going to be a good, you know, with a fan tip on the end of a pressure washer, you're going to be a good 24 inches at least away from the ceiling. We're just trying to get rid of the spick and span and the dirt and the dust and clean it up. And then with the lights, you know, be careful around the lights. Don't sit there and be like pushing on it. But and wear a raincoat and some eye protection because you're going to be getting wet.
Right.
But that'll do the trick.
Okay. And then is there any way to go back and can you see that wood is kind of dried out? Is that what it's supposed to do? Or is there a way to treat that so it...
Well, I mean, if you wanted to, once it's dry, you could put some type of finish on it to make cleaning it next time easier. I would probably just use a waterborne spar varnish, even though you don't need the UV protection, but that you could just put in a roller pan and roll it, put some drop cloths down and roll out the ceiling and put a nice coat of the spar varnish on there, probably two coats because it'll absorb it. And then it'll have a nice kind of a protective film on it that when you go to clean it next time, you might be able to just get away with a hose.
With a hose. And then do you have a suggestion for a waterborne spar varnish?
Minwax. By gallon of waterborne spar, clear spar varnish.
Got it. All right. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574-LOU is our phone number. We'll take a quick break. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Lou. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you? How may I help you?
I'm well. I have a 16-by-6-foot theater deck, porch deck. And I am at the point now where I have to replace the boards. And because it's the main door that we come into our house, I'm wondering, I'd like to buy the cedar boards. I'd like to seal them in clear. I just want them to be the color that they currently are. And I would like to seal them and let them cure for 30 days and then put them on. Is that a good idea or not?
Well, I bet the issue is, well, not the issue, but the thing is, the cedar looks so nice when, you know, it's brand new, and I know you like that look, but if you just put a clear on it, it will eventually just gray.
Okay, and I'm kind of okay with that, but what would you suggest?
But I wouldn't do a clear, because the clear, it just kind of sits on top of the wood like a floor wax, and then it peels. And then it actually makes the wood even more dirty. So,
okay.
So you're going to replace all the boards on the deck?
Correct.
Okay. So you're going to get done. It's going to look really nice. You're going to love the different look of the reds and the blues and everything that's there. But then the issue is going to be, you know, after about a year, it'll be gray. And then you could either stain it a gray color, if you like that color, or you can stain it a cedar color, you know, that'll be more like on the brown tinge.
So it had, it's been on here for like 20-some years. It's been a taupe color, and I took that off and sanded it off, and then it was a cedar color, like... pretty red cedar that I didn't, it was too much cedar color.
Too much
for me.
Cedar, right, yeah.
And then, and so I'd like, I don't mind the cedar color, but is there something that's like semi, I don't want solid stain, I guess I would like a semi stain or a.
Yeah, I mean, if you went with a semi, you know, a semi transparent,
yes,
then you know you would see more of the grain, and
yes,
so that could look nice. I was talking earlier today. There's a really good stain company called Penafin, and they make a rosewood oil based deck stain, and their what they call their cedar color is not mm-hmm. too cedary. I know what you're talking about. Okay. You know, it's but I would, you know, if you go, you got to find a dealer up by you that that carries it, and they make it in a blue can and a red. Well, they make all kinds of stuff, but their bread and butter is either the blue can or the red can. Does this deck you have get a lot of sun?
It's on the north side of my house.
Okay.
And so it's no. late yeah, after. Yeah, yeah. So, yes, the answer is no.
So
yes,
the blue can, which is their bread and butter, the one that they use okay. at Disney World, is what you want in the cedar.
Okay.
And
yep.
And so try that. Maybe test it on a board and make sure you like it. But it's really good. Get your boards down. You know, if you want, if it were me and you were doing this, if you're going to do this in the next month or so, this is a terrific thing, the staining, to do in the fall.
Oh, okay.
Because I want that wood to dry okay. out, you know, and I want the cooler temperatures to make that the stain go on better and hold better.
So it's not something that I want to, like, set up in my garage, stain all these, let them stay for 30 days, and then put it on.
Well, you could, but I want, if you're going to do that and you're going to get the, I want that cedar to dry
right.
before you do the stain, because there's tannin oils in there. So if you're going to buy this cedar and this is what you want to do, then bring it home, set it up on wood racks so that's separated yep. so that it can dry.
Okay.
And if you're going to do that in the garage, you're probably going to give it a month of that.
Okay.
Then you can pre-stain it, and then you can install it, and then you can go back and touch up.
Yeah. I have, I babysit dogs, and I have grandchildren, and to keep people off of there, you know, dogs come running up and they slide across, and now I got all those lines in my...
Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like...
Okay. So that's perfect.
Yeah. Good for you. Well, I appreciate you calling. Good luck with your project.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, too. Have a good day.
Yep. Talking about decks and pergolas and outdoor spaces, after we do the news, we're going to talk with our friends over at Architect, who, by the way, were so generous to do a match for my virtual candy jar for Misericordia Candy Days. And if you're looking for an outdoor project, I just saw, evidently, CBS Morning tomorrow, I saw a sneak preview of a story they're going to do on CBS Sunday Morning of a backyard that costs $600,000. That is something. So
that's an outdoor space.
That's what we call outdoor living, and then some. It's 8:30 in the morning. Let's head into the WGN Radio newsroom and check in with Kevin Wells. Our friends over at Architect of Chicagoland stepped up to do a match up to $3,000. And joining me on the phone line is David Berryhill, who is the president of Architect of Chicagoland. David, good morning. And welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Good morning to you. Good talk.
Thank you so much for your participation in my virtual candy jar. It really goes a long way. We've raised over $7,000 to date, and with your three, that puts us over 10. And I so appreciate it, and I know so do the people at Misericordia. So I want to start by saying thank you so much for your generosity.
Well, you're more than welcome, but thank you for, as soon as we saw the opportunity, Misericordia is a great support and charity, and we wanted to be involved. So appreciate the opportunity to be involved with that.
Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about your business. People hear your ads here on WGN Radio. They may see your ads other places, but give me a snapshot of who you folks are and what it is you do at Architect of Chicagoland.
Architect of Chicagoland designs and builds outdoor living spaces for families and friends, and love doing it. So it's decks, it's patios, it's porches, outdoor kitchens, fireplaces, pergolas, you name it. If it's outdoor structure, we're generally doing it.
And you not only are building it, but you can help people if they're not quite sure what they want to do. You have designers that can help identify, you know, what it is they want to do and how to best maximize that space, correct?
Architect Outdoor Living is really started with the premise that we're going to help people by understanding their priorities and balancing those priorities to give them some good options. And that includes value engineering it, you know, understanding where they want to make their investment versus the products and versus the use they want to have, and saying, hey, based on our 21 years of experience, but then the larger experience of Architect, that's a national franchise. So we've got the local brand here, but then we're part of a bigger group. We've been doing this for over 40 years, and we're able to say, hey, here's how you get the most bang for your buck, and here's where we can get you the best results for your new space.
That being part of a big national group can help you sometimes on pricing for materials and things like that. Is that right?
Yeah, we have great relationships with a couple key national vendors, TimberTech, AZEK Decking, and then Bellegarde Pavers. It doesn't always drive big discounts, but it does give us incentives, and it does give us great support. So if there's ever a question or an issue, we can take care of our clients really well. Especially in the TimberTech category, we have an exclusive warranty that not only covers materials but labor for the entire time frame of the warranty, because we have such a good relationship, and TimberTech knows we build it right and build it per their standards. So we really can take care of our clients with those relationships. And yes, it also helps with pricing a little bit too.
I want to stay on the topic of pricing. We're hearing a lot about the tariffs and how that's affecting different businesses. Is that having any direct effect on some of the projects that you're doing?
Very little. And I have to say, I'm every business owner, I think, was nervous when the news was breaking about that. But the low-maintenance decking we talked about, I just mentioned, the pavers we mentioned, those are all manufactured in the U.S., so those aren't issues. There are lumber channels from outside the country, but I believe those are exempted, and so we're not seeing lumber increases. That was our biggest worry, that treated lumber would go up. A little bit of increase in anything metal, but the good news is that, you know, decks don't have a lot of metal. You know, there's some bolts, some screws, but it's a small percentage of the total project.
Right.
So even if those go up 10, 20%, the total price of the project doesn't even go up a half a percentage point. You know,
right.
A small
right.
change.
We can't, move this conversation to like, boy, book now because the tariffs, the prices are going to go up. But there is a incentive in the fact that as things get nicer, I would imagine that you guys pick up and the lead times stretch out. And so there is an advantage for people to contacting Architect of Chicagoland sooner than later.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the right time of year to do it. If you know, to get your space, you can use it this summer, but also use it in the fall. And to me, there's nothing better than watching football outside. And you can be ready for that. So, and regardless of schedules and timing, it you do need a little ramp up. I mean, we got to get the permits, take a little bit of time. So you're looking at roughly a 6 to 8 week period once we have agreement and a plan to be able to start the project and do everything right.
I know that, you know, you mentioned you cover this whole gamut of different types of project. On average, you know, depending on the, you know, kind of the sweet spot of what you guys do, once something gets started, you know, you got to go through the permitting process and the agreement and everything, are you at someone's house a week, 10 days, a month? Does it all depend?
Well, and with your background in remodeling and construction, Lou, you know, it varies by the job, obviously. But for most of our projects, decks and patios, which are the highest percentage of what we do, we can be in and out usually in a week to 2 weeks and move very quickly. When we do porches, there's additional trades involved. So
sure.
Now you bring in electrical, maybe gas for a fireplace, roofers, gutter guys. That tends to drag it out further. But generally, the crew and the mess, which to me, we always want to minimize that window, is almost always under 2 weeks for any job we do. And then it's just, again, electrical to finish up, roofing to finish up, things like that.
Well, and you bring up, I think, a very important point for our listeners and homeowners, that if someone hires Architect of Chicagoland to do a patio or a deck or a porch where You just mentioned there's all these different trades that are involved. You will become the single point of contact, right? In other words, here's the price to do all this. You're not coming to the homeowner and saying, okay, we're going to do this, but you got to find an electrician, or we're going to do this, you need to find a roofing contractor. You're going to handle all that.
That's 100% correct. We want to be full service. And so when we design and give a price, and I always use the word price because we don't give estimates. We don't say, here's what we think the number will be, and oh, by the way, it's the end of the job, now there's an extra chunk of money coming. Now, we give a number, it's a guaranteed number. Obviously, if people make changes or there's unforeseen conditions, that can change it. But if we made a mistake in pricing or my vendors changed, that's not our client's problems, that's ours. But we handle all of it, the electrical, the anything related to the job. There, occasionally people want something that's unique and that we don't have access to.
Sure.
Then we'll clearly lay that out that, hey, we don't do drywall, for example. So you got some drywall repair. That's something we couldn't handle. Either, you know, if that's important to you, we're not the right company. But if it is, and everything else you love, hey, happy to work with your drywall contractor.
Right.
But electrical, gas, roofing, gutters, the stuff we do all the time, we handle it for our clients, including getting permits. And that can be such a chore for someone who's inexperienced working with all the different building departments. So handling the permitting and inspections is a key part of that, too.
I love it. That's great. David Berryhill, president of Architect of Chicagoland. All right, you've convinced me. People want to get a hold of you guys to get that price and get on your schedule. How do they get a hold of you folks?
Well, two best ways. Give us a call, 847-496-4333. Or to get inspired and also reach out to us, go to our website, architect.com/Chicagoland. And you will see hundreds, probably thousands, of projects we've done here in Chicago for Chicagoland families.
David, it's always nice to chat with you. Continued success, and also thank you again for your participation in my virtual candy jars for Misericordia. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You too. Good talking to you, Lou, as always.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. My phone number is 857-557-4568. 857-557-4568. For Lou. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
Hey, good morning, Lou. How are you doing?
I'm well.
So my question is, I have a answer part of the house there. And I used to
hold on. Lee, stand on one foot. Your phone is crackling up on me. Start over again.
I'm sorry. I'm at Target.
Oh, there you go.
So I have ants that's coming in my house now, and I used to use this product called Terra Ant, and it worked until this year. They just avoided completely.
I'm gonna put you down, and hopefully you're still hearing me, but your phone's breaking up. So the Terra Ant traps for certain kinds of ants, it doesn't work on every one of them, and so you gotta try what I call a three-prong approach. Use an ant shake on the outside. Terro makes one, and so does a company called Bonide, and put that all around the perimeter of the home. And it's a food that those ants that are outside will take back to the colony and get the queen, and then you eliminate that, and you're done. On the inside, use some bait traps, but in other areas you want to spray. I really like this product called Ortho Home Defense, and it's clear, it's odorless, and it has residual value. Terro also makes a spray that I've used that I like as well. Put that in the corners where you see them, and the key when you spray is don't spray where you use the bait stations because it sort of cancels it out. So use the bait where maybe you don't see ants to try and get the ones that'll go for that. And where those ants that are avoiding the bait stations, spray it. And I think that if you do that within 2 weeks, you should be in pretty good shape. I appreciate the phone call. This is Melody in Chicago Ridge. Hi, Melody. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Nice to talk to you. I just want to tell you, you have saved my life so many times being a single mom homeowner for a lot of years, and I've listened to you for probably 25 years.
That's so nice.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say. How may I help you today?
Okay. I have a home in Chicago Ridge. We've been here 2 years now. The house is only 35 years old. When we first moved in, the first thing we had to do was replace the front porch because it was, you know, cracking and sinking. So we did the front walkway and the front porch. I won't name the contractor. But it was done in September of 2023.
Oh, sorry, I hit my button. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm thinking, what did I say?
Never you said mind. Nothing. No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. So anyway, within a month of the cement being poured, it started cracking on the first two stairs in the middle. I did send you some pictures, and I hope you got them. The cracking is in the middle, across the front porch, down, now we are down four stairs, and the contractor simply wants to come out and seal it with, you know, caulk, which will look really crappy, in my opinion, mm-hmm. for a brand new front porch and stairs. So when I heard you talking about the unglazed porcelain tiles, I'd like your opinion on what you would think about us putting something like that.
Okay, now, wait. Melody, how long ago did you do this concrete?
It was done in September of 2023.
Okay. And the cracking started when?
Within a month or two after it was poured.
And it was?
It was poured in September.
Right.
So we hadn't had a cold winter that year.
Right.
We hadn't had any bad snow or anything. I'm very disappointed in the job that was done. But if all they want to do is caulk it, I don't want that.
Are they hairline cracks or are they bigger cracks?
On the stairs, they are pretty much hairline. On the front porch, they're a little wider than that. I mean, not a lot, but they tell me it's not that deep a crack and not to worry about it and blah, blah, blah. But as we go through the winters every year, freeze and thaw,
mm-hmm.
they are going to get bigger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't want it to look like this.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I understand. Terrible. I understand.
When you talked about those glazed porcelain tiles, I'm like, ooh, I wonder if that's an idea.
So they're unglazed porcelain tiles.
Unglazed, I'm sorry.
Well, yes. The reason is the unglazed is what's not, makes it non-slip.
Correct.
And so when we used it on our porch, and I'm going to have you hold on a second. Because I need to break for news, and I'll finish the conversation with you off the air. We went and had dinner at our friends Deb and Greg's house, and they got me a little birthday present, which was so nice. It's called I'm not going to say this right, sous-vide.
Sous-vide.
Sous-vide. Thank you. Yep. Do you have one, Andy?
No, but I've been educated on it. My wife's friend has one.
Okay. So this is supposedly it's a way to cook.
Okay.
And the whole idea is that it's like a, looks like a
bottle opener.
Kind of looks like a bottle opener. So for instance, you take a chicken breast and you put it in a vacuum.
I love a good chicken breast.
Well, your husband does.
Yes.
When your children do, but this is the idea. You take it in a vacuum pack bag or like a Ziploc bag, you take all the air out.
Okay.
You drop it in a pot of water. You put this thing in the thing, and you set it to the temperature. And it will slowly cook whatever you want to cook to this temperature. Then, at the end, you take it out, and you throw it on the grill if you want that little quick thing just to char it up. Okay. Slice it up, and it's perfect. So, evidently, this is what they do. Did you ever wonder, like, when you go to a wedding, and you're like, how is it that they get the chicken and the beef? All of it is to be at the same perfect temperature, and they can serve 200 plates.
I've never thought about that. But
I think about that all the time.
I believe it.
I do.
I know. I do. I believe it.
And then evidently they do this. Sous vide. Thank you, Andy.
Interesting.
Yep, Kevin, by the way, good job.
I've never heard of one.
On the word. Good job.
Good job.
He was so excited about it.
Pretty sure that the last time you filled in, you didn't even do it, right?
He walked away for a second.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he needs to come out for a shout out, so get his butt back.
I know. I don't know where he went.
Yeah. He's like, but that old guy that drinks that old beer, I'm not interested in that. Right? Fine. That's right. Remember when Kevin used to work at WGN Radio? Now he doesn't. Just walked away. Just walked out. I'm out.
I'm done.
That's it. I quit. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Anyway, sous vide. I haven't tried it yet, but I had dinner at Deb and Greg's, and they used it on this pork tenderloin. It was delicious.
So good.
That seems right up your alley. That's a great gift for you.
You'll love it. I know.
Yeah.
And I think there's even an app, like you can watch your meat on on your phone. Oh my God. Anyway, I'm excited to try it. And I think what you can do, depending on the size of the pot, like you could do multiple chicken breasts or multiple pork chops or a big pork tenderloin or whatever it is. And I think you can do other things too, like fish.
Good.
That's you?
Yep.
I think maybe vegetables. I'm not sure. I don't know. I got to look into it. Sous vide.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. This is when we do our shout-outs, and what I like to do at 9 o'clock, you know, we used to do What's Going On, but this is another way for us to kind of, things going on in our lives. You know, when you're in the radio and TV business, people are like, could you say happy birthday to my, Andy, can you say happy birthday to my sister? It's her, you know, and Andy will be like, well, you know, it's not really the thing.
Yeah, it's not really
now,
a thing, yeah.
Now,
I can't.
With a whole segment, it works.
You're right.
And then people who are like, oh, you know, I'm going to do a shout out to you and listen to the radio after 9 o'clock because Lou's going to talk about what you're doing. And so we got some shout outs, and then we'll ask the staff if they have shout outs too. This is a shout out to Jimmy Q, who never gives up with a shamrock and a heart. Go, Jimmy Q. And here's a shout out, please, to one of the biggest WGN fans I know. Happy birthday, Todd, which is May 18th. You mean the world to me, and I love you, Kathy. That's a good one. Andy, do you have any shout-outs today?
Yeah, mine's more of a serious note here. I want to shout-out to a Dr. Will at the Rosen Eye Care North Center and also a Dr. McCumber, who works at the Illinois Retina Associates. I had a couple of interesting days. Waking up on Monday, I had some very blurry vision in my left eye. And things were really distorted. I didn't procrastinate like I normally do, and I made a doctor's an eye doctor appointment right away. And it turned out that I had two small tears in my retina.
Wow!
And had to go for a laser treatment on it, which was one of the more interesting things I've ever done in my entire life.
Oh wow!
Still having some issues, but not nearly as bad as it was. And I caught it early, so it was repairable. At this point, without any invasion. So I want to thank those two gentlemen very much for kind of keeping me at ease and explaining everything as it was going along. And it was a pretty scary situation. So I posted this on Facebook, and I just want to say, listen, I know I joke around a lot, but if there's something going on with your vision, don't put it off.
Oh, 100%.
Make sure you make an appointment. Get in to get to see an eye care professional and get it all taken care of immediately.
Well, I'm glad it sounds like it's heading in the right direction. That's good.
Yeah, thankfully. It was pretty scary. I mean, you know, you don't always wake up, every once in a while, you know, you get, especially during allergy season, I think, okay, well, my eyes are just reacting to my allergies. And then I was like, there's things floating around in my field of vision, and that's not real, real good.
Well, and the other thing too is, you know, you're still in the realm of being newly married, and Melina might just be like, "What? Get some damaged goods here? What's you know,
exactly?" I keep
you're
telling
still
her,
under the warranty.
I was going to say the warranty is over, but you know, hey, this is one of those kind
but
of things.
She might be able to still get her money back.
It's a scratch and dent sale, you know.
Right, right. You're like we picked you up at that. What's that store? The dump.
The
you
dump. Know, it's all exactly. But yeah, all
well,
seriousness,
I'm glad you're
get,
doing
that,
your, okay,
get it all checked
good.
Out. Yeah,
you're right. And I mean, I think that you bring up a really good point, in particular with men and women too. This is very common too, where you just sort of let it go. Oh, fine, it's right. And you hear this, what is it? I think with women, it's they're more likely to suffer a heart attack because they just don't. The symptoms aren't
are
you know,
different.
Something
yeah.
They, yep. Oh, I just got the flu or whatever. So yep. Right. Don't. That's the whole reason why we go to doctors. And hopefully, if you're fortunate enough to have health care. You know, insurance, you can take advantage of that stuff. Yep. So good. Glad you did that.
How long you out of golf for?
2 weeks. That's the worst part of the whole thing. Can't golf for 2 weeks.
All right. Well, I'll see you out there in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kevin, do you have anything to shout out? Anybody you want to say hello to, happy birthday to, happy anniversary, anything like that?
Yeah, actually, it's big birthday month for me. So my girlfriend turned 28 on Tuesday, and it's my mom's birthday next week. So we're going to Cubs Sox this afternoon as a celebration. So happy birthday to my girlfriend Eileen and to my mother.
Always making big points with mom and the girlfriend. I like that. Lindsay, I know you have some shout outs.
I do. I have a shout out for my oldest daughter, Sadie, who is
amazing.
The sweetest mean girl last night. She was Gretchen Wieners in the production of Mean Girls. She did great. It was her first big role, and she really shined. And I am so grateful for my for family and friends that came to support last night.
You sent me some videos of it, and you said I was so proud I didn't know where to look.
I didn't. Right. I was like, do I cry? Do I laugh? I was just overcome.
Great. Yeah, congratulations, really Sadie. That's awesome. I've got some shout outs. Yesterday was Massimo Manfredini's 24th birthday, which is crazy. And he's one of these kids, he loves his birthday. You know, he lives in New York now, and at 7 in the morning, he wakes up, hey, good morning. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, it's my birthday. I'm really excited. So we're like, happy birthday, go back to sleep. And so he did. So happy birthday, Massey. And then Deanna Lentz, a very dear friend of ours who runs the Rustic Falls Camp up in Burlington, Wisconsin. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Deanna. And then my nephew, Jack Harmon, is graduating from U of I today. So
nice.
He serves in the Illinois National Guard, along with his brother, Caden, also serves in the Illinois National Guard. Both of them, very, very proud of both of them, as well as their sister, Flannery, who's my favorite Harmon. But he's graduating today, so it's a big accomplishment, graduating from college. So way to go, Jack. Now we just need to get him a job. 857-557-4LOU. That is our shout out segment. If you've got stuff that you want to get out there, we're going to do it every Saturday at 9. You can text us, you can send us a Facebook message. Lindsay will compile it, and we'll go from there. How about this? The seventh caller is going to win a Mr. Fix It limited edition hat. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. You will win the Mr. Fix-It cap, sponsored by our friends over at Lindholm Roofing, the company I recommend for all your roofing, siding, and tuck pointing needs. Their family has your family covered. This is Mark in Aurora. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How can I help you?
Hey, I got a roofing question for you. I got a single-family house. Roof is asphalt shingle. And we had an addition, so half the house is 25 years, and then the other half is 30 years, original roof. There's no leaks, no problems with it, but I'm just wondering if you had any knowledge or experience that spray-on roofing. Yeah, I'm just looking to buy some time, maybe selling the house in 5-6 years, and I'd just rather get the credit rather than going through the expense of a full roof.
Well, I mean, so here's the thing. You're just going to give a credit when you go to sell it. And right. So, and you're, you know, I'm not a big fan of the spray on roof thing. I got to be honest with you. I get what it is, and it's not that it doesn't work, but to me, it's not. I recently was interviewed for a magazine, they were like, oh, do you have any tricks and, you know, hacks that you use to do something that people don't, you know, think about? And I've always been a right tool for the right job person. And, you know, you've got an old roof, right? 25, 30 years old.
Yeah.
You got your money's worth out of it. The average life of a roof is 13 years. And the thing is that if you go do one of these roof coatings, you'll spend $5,000-$6,000 on that, okay? Mm-hmm. And it may or may not work. And so a year from now, if it doesn't work, or, you know, you get a leak or whatever, now you got somebody come back to fix the leaky roof or whatever, and now I'm into it for $7,000, right? Now we go to sell the house, and for sure they're going to say, great house, but you've got a, you know, 40-year-old roof at this point. I'm going to need $20,000 of a credit because the roof is just going to keep going up in price.
Yeah, true.
Now, when you go to sell the house, if you had a crystal ball, will they tear the house down or will they, is it in, you know, is the rest of the house in good shape?
The rest of the house is in good shape. Probably need some windows, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, right. But it's not a tear down.
No.
Can you afford a new roof?
Yeah, I could, you know, if there's equity, I could tap into it, you know.
The better
I don't have the cash outright to
no,
do
no,
it.
No, but in other words, yeah. I mean, so the thing is that to me, like the roof coating is like, I just have no money to do this and I need to kind of spruce it up. I need to stop the leaking and it might work and it might not. If you can afford to do it, even with, you know, tapping into something or whatever, you're going to benefit from a new roof. You're going to have no headaches. It's going to be brand new. It's not going to leak. And life changes, right? Let's say in 5 years you're not selling, okay? And all of a sudden I got to stay in the house. And now the, you know, I'm just going to make this up. The 20 grand that you would have spent on the brand new roof this year is now 25 or 27.
Okay, let me ask you a question on the new roof. Since I just got one roof on there now, or, you know, one coating. Is it standard now just to rip everything down, or do people still just put another layer on
the
layer?
It's pretty standard to tear it all down. I mean, it's not worth even that. The issue is when you go to sell it, if it's a re-roof, they're gonna well, we need a new roof. Like you're not gonna win on that on the sale of it because they're gonna want the tear down. Do this. Call Lindholm Roofing. It's a free estimate. You got nothing to lose. Okay. Have them come out, look at it, give you a price, and then, you know, you decide whether or not it's within your budget.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate you calling. Good luck with that project. I normally would have done this during the shout out, but I do want to take a moment real quick on a personal level to talk about something. You may have heard the news that, you know, we own a couple hardware stores and we are selling our store in Edgebrook, and that is going to change ownership in the beginning of June. And we're elated that the store is going to continue to be an ace and our employees are going to continue to have jobs. And it's really wonderful. Part of there's a bunch of reasons why you sell a business, but in particular, we have two very important people that have worked with us for the past 20 years, Ed and Sue Corin. They are a husband and wife team who have served the Edgebrook community for over 40 years. If anyone has come into that hardware store over the last 20 years, even before we were the owners of it, Ed and Sue were there. I would put their knowledge and expertise in the hardware industry against anybody in the business across the country. And there are not two finer, hardworking, dedicated people that you would want to meet and have the pleasure to work alongside for the last 20 years. They are retiring, and we are super excited for both of them, and we are excited about what they're going to be doing with their the next chapter of their lives. They're both still very young, but they've both worked very hard and have been in this industry for a very, very long time. I, on a personal note, you know, have worked very closely with both of them, along with Mary Beth, and any business owner would be lucky to have two people like this to work with, because they're just amazing, amazing people. So to Ed and Sue, congratulations. We're very excited for you. We're actually having a little bit of a celebration tomorrow, Sunday, from 9 until 4, where it's like a 20% off sale. But if you're a customer, come in and say thanks and say hello. We're going to have actually the Misericordia Bakery truck out there. And, you know, we've got like a 20% bag sale type of deal. And if you make a purchase, we'll give you a brownie and a cup of coffee, something like that, as a way to say thank you. But it'll be a nice day, and I'm sure it'll be very busy. But we're excited to celebrate them. It's coming to an end. It'll be the new ownership will take over on June 2nd. So, you know, we're just trying to get it all ready, make sure that the store is in the best shape it can possibly be. Ed and Sue both have been working their fannies off every day to try and make this transition as smooth as possible. And it's been a great learning experience, as I like to learn things all the time about selling a business and what's involved in that. My wife, Mary Beth, too, has worked really, really hard. There's so much of T's crossing and I's dotting and making sure that all the back end stuff, which she has run for the past 20 years, amazingly well. In concert with Ed and Sue. It's just really great. So congratulations to Ed and Sue. Congratulations to our entire staff over there at Edgebrook Ace. I look forward to seeing many of you tomorrow if you stop by to say hello and to say thanks. And we'll have a fun day, and it'll be a lot of fun. 20 years at Edgebrook Ace, which is really something to be celebrated, which we will do tomorrow.
All right, the first one. Lou, the rollers on my garage door are starting to creak a little. I need to spray them. What products should I use to spray the rollers on the door?
The biggest mistake that people make is spraying the rollers. So don't do that. Here's what I would do. Take, if you have a bottle or a container of mineral spirits and or paint thinner, take a rag. Pour some in a container, take a rag with gloves on, soak the rag, squeeze it, and then take your fingers with the glove hand and wipe that curved edge of the track that the rollers roll on, okay? And you're going to get all kinds of grease and debris off there, and then take another dirty rag that's dry and kind of clean that off. Keep in mind that I don't want you to throw that paint thinner rag in the garbage can because it can spontaneously combust. What I want you to do is throw that in a bucket of water, let it soak, then throw it away. Now, you're going to do that. You're going to clean that track. Then the rollers have a pin. Each hinge has a pin that's the end of the roller. Use my favorite lightweight oil called Superzilla on the pins, not the rollers. And then articulate the garage door up and down. That should solve the problem.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Next, how can I attach a hose to my kitchen faucet so I can water my patio plants? The hose bib on my townhome is very far away from my patio.
So they do make an aerator attachment, depending on the type of faucet that you have, that offers you the threading for a garden hose. And you can use one of those lightweight, like, I'm not a huge fan of those pocket hoses, but they're lightweight, you know, and they curl up. They're perfect for this kind of application. And, you know, they're not super durable, but for this they would work. And you can put that aerator on, screw the hose on there, turn it on, do your business, and take it off. And then you can leave that part on there as part of your kitchen faucet. But you need to make sure you get the right one. So just be cognizant of that when you go to the hardware store.
Thanks, Lou.
You're welcome.
Final question. Lou, is there a way to patch a screen without replacing the whole screen?
Sure. There's these great self-stick screen patches that you can buy that come in a black or a gray, and you peel them off. They're not screen. I don't think they are screen. I think it's more of an image. But it looks like a screen, and you can light it. You can line it up and put it right over the thing, and squeeze it on both sides so it sticks, and it covers the hole. I think some are screen and some aren't, but you can do it without having to replace the whole thing. It's just a few dollars, and it's easy to do. That's our Just Text Me segment. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. This is Jennifer in Chicago. Hi, Jennifer. How about Mark and Aurora? How about Jim in Palos Heights.
Hello, Lou.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jim.
Hi, Jim. How may I help you?
I have a question. It's a little strange. I've been listening to you forever, but I've never heard this one. Granite grave markers are flat in cemeteries, and I have a Celtic cross that is made out of brass, and I would like to attach it to this marker. What is the best adhesive? I was thinking of JB Weld. Is there something else I could use?
Are you going to attach it lying flat. Down flat, not standing
yes.
up?
Lying down flat.
Mm-hmm. So the Celtic cross is brass, and you're going to glue it to granite.
The granite.
Yeah. So you need a two-part epoxy. JB Weld makes yes. it, and they do make a two-part epoxy that is the granite relatively clean?
No, that was my other question. Should I use some wet and forget on there to clean it off first?
Well, you can, but that will take time, right? So if you wanted to speed up this process, maybe take fill up a gallon jug of or get a 5 gallon bucket with a lid, right, and fill it with hot water and pour something like crud cutter in there. Bring a bottle of crud cutter and mix it with the water, and then a brush, you know, and clean the granite first. I would like it to be dry, but I'm trying to. If you could do it in one trip, that'd be great. Scrub the marker. Get it nice and clean. Bring a couple towels with you. Dry it off, okay? And, you know, out in the sun, the granite will probably dry pretty quickly. Then you'll find a two-part epoxy. JB Weld makes them. DevCount, everybody makes one. But that will do metal and stone. And
Together.
And what you're going to do is bring a little, either a small container. Or you know what I use? I bring like a paper plate. And when you squeeze the cylinder, because there's two cylinders, right? It gives the hardener and the epoxy squeezes it out in equal points, and then you mix it with like a paint stick or a, you know, tongue depressor type of thing, and a popsicle stick. Right, you mix it all up and then apply that to the back of the Celtic cross, and then place it on top of the granite. And the real thing is with that bucket, you know, with the water, put that over the top to apply pressure for 10 minutes.
To hold it down, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. One other quick question. I won't name the product, but I've been seeing on the TV these spray things for your roof to revitalize it. Is it worth it, or is it just a...
I had an earlier call about that. I want to be the politician, you know, because you never know who an advertiser is going to be. It's not my cup of tea. It might be for some people, but I don't think it's worth the investment. As I mentioned earlier, I'm a right tool for the right job. If you need a new roof, you need a new roof.
Get a new roof.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. You know what? There's no leaks, no worries. We're broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Waterproofing Studios. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Betty in Downers Grove. Hey, Betty, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello.
Hello there. How may I help you?
I have a three-quarter bathroom with a shower stall, and about 20 years ago, my husband put in all ceramic tiles on the walls and the ceiling. And now we need to remove it, and I want to put in just a solid stone wall. But I don't know how to remove this ceramic tile without damaging the green board or whatever behind it.
You won't. You will end up damaging some of that. And you're just going to... Are you going to do this yourself?
I hope to.
Okay. Well, then you're going to, you know, what I would suggest you do is get a multi-tool, which is a vibrating kind of duckbill multi-tool with the proper blades, and they'll have a blade for grout, they'll have a blade for adhesive and wood and that kind of stuff, and you're going to cut out a couple of the tiles and then use that tool along with a putty knife and a hammer, a putty knife that you can hammer where the metal of the blade goes all the way through the handle, and you're going to start taking one tile at a time. Are you going to save the tub?
No, there's no tub. It's just a shower stall.
Are you going to leave the shower stall, or are you going to replace the stall as well?
We're going to replace the bottom base and the walls.
Okay.
And the ceiling.
Okay. So, I mean, because you will damage the base when you go to take this tile out. So you're just going to start scraping it away. I got to be honest with you. If you're going to do all this, what might make more sense is don't waste your time trying to take the tile off one at a time. Just cut it all out down to the studs and then re-drywall it and then put up your solid wall.
Okay. What for the ceiling as well?
For the ceiling as well. You'll see where the tile is, so you'll cut it with a sawzall and you'll take it down in sections and throw that away and then put new green board up. And you're only going to have to really, with a solid wall, you're only going to have to patch what you see on the outside and maybe one line of the ceiling. Well, you're probably not going to put the solid up on the ceiling, correct?
No, we'd have to probably just drywall that.
Right. I would, by the time you mess with trying to take this one tile at a time and then patching what's there, I would just take it all down. The other question is, you said that whole bathroom's 25 years old. Does that include the shower valve, too?
No, the shower valve, well, yeah. Yeah, because they put that all in it. Yeah.
You may want to replace that as well.
Okay. This is my question. General, I know you're not going to know specifically, but doing it yourself versus having somebody come in and do it, are we looking at more than like $8,000-$9,000?
I mean, if you got one of these one-day bath people to come in, like it's, you know, and you wanted to, I think Kohler now has a system, and, you know, Rebath and Bath Fitter, they all do this stuff. You're somewhere, to have them come in and do it, you're in the $3,000 to $5,000 range.
And price different between them doing it and us doing it.
Well, it's way cheaper if you do it. I mean, you're probably gonna end up doing it for less than $2,000.
Is that you're saying it could get done for less than $8,000? A shower stall?
You should be able to.
Wow! All right, no, then I ain't doing it. Hey, thanks.
Well, look at that! I spent your money, and you don't have to do any of the work. Yeah, I don't think you're gonna spend $8,000. It'll be less than that. I mean, it depends on the material you choose. You can spend $8,000 on one shower for sure. But, you know, these one day people, it's pretty quick. It's in, it's out, and you're good to go. So I appreciate that phone call. Yeah, that's our last call. Sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. When heating and cooling your home, Mitsubishi Electric is the last call you need to make. I mentioned this earlier. We had our granddaughter Mia staying over in that room with the Mitsubishi. Perfect temperature. That's the thing. When Nono's happy that Mia's happy, you know we got the right thing, right?
I mean, 12 hours of sleep is impressive.
Well, that's the other thing. The girl went to sleep at 7:30 and got up at 6:30. It's the craziest thing. I wish I could sleep that well. Maybe what you have to do is, I'm going to have Mary Beth swaddle me. That would probably be perfect for her. Get your hands off me.